Alrighty, everybody, welcome. Let's get this party started, huh? Okay, first we're going to start off, I just want to give some thank yous, of course. We have our banquet sponsors. Our main sponsor we mentioned before was Second National Bank. And we have several table sponsors. We have Calp Pharmacy, Mercer Health, IU Health J, Forget Me Not Florist, Sunshine Boutique, Mercer Savings, Tomorrow's Technology Today, Performance Therapy, Wangler Hardware, Wendell Poultry, Mel Heitkamp & Sons, and Mullenkamp & Associates. So thank you very much for sponsoring the tables. Yay! And our appetizers today were sponsored by Klingshirn & Sons Trucking. Yay! And the desserts with all those tasty cupcakes were sponsored by Trusty Woods. Yay! The beverage table was by Wayne Street Market. Yay! And lastly, the programs are sponsored by Fort Recovery Insurance. And we were just talking how I could read my writing. Yeah. By Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Sorry about that. Well, we have some dignitaries here with us, some special folks. Our County Commissioner Jerry Laffin. Jerry? Hey! And with us also tonight, our representative for the 84th District, Susan Manchester. All right, and I've already forgotten to thank our cooks, so let me do that now. Our cooks were Mary Mary Evers, and the turkey was donated by Cooper Farms again. Thank you. All right, well, as tradition, I always like to start off the evening with a top 10 list, and I tell you, it was very tough to think of things. I mean, there's nothing in the news anymore to think about, but I just kept having to come back to how cold it was this winter. I mean, it was very, very just frozen. It's like Mother Nature had schizophrenia. You know what I'm saying? It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold. Or maybe she was menopausal, one of the two. Occasional winter with an occasional hot flash. But just crazy things, like, you know, I'm driving down Salina, there's the Wendy's sign, you know, fresh, sometimes frozen. You know, I'm counseling my anxiety patients, let it go, let it go. Just crazy stuff. So, I decided I was going to do for you guys tonight's top 10 results of the Fort Deep Freeze. These are top 10 results of the Fort Deep Freeze. Here we go. Number 10, Fort Recovery Insurance started writing frostbite policies. I promised I had to plug you guys, and I'm just trying to warm up the crowd here. Number 9, in the cow parlors, they were milking shakes. Number 8, Cooper is selling frozen turkey, with or without feathers. Number 7, the Sunshine Boutique had a trade-in, pumps for parkas sale. Number 6, the Trusty Woods building turned blue. Oh, wait a minute, it already was. I'm going to do that one over. Number 6, Mercer Savings only gives out loans based on frozen assets. Number 5, Chamber's new beautification award, best use of icicles. Number 4, at Hastings you buy 3 Michelin blades, get the 4th one free. Number 3, Gen Fitness includes Dippin' Dots in all meal plans. Oh, we only wish, you know, goodbye asparagus. Number 2, a simple touch home decor designs polar bear rugs in every room. Yeah, my apologies to the polar bears on that one. And the number 1 top 10 Fort Deep Freeze was Miracle Lane converts their alleys for curling. All right, the top 10 Deep Freeze. All righty. Well, let's see. At this point, we want Dave Kalp to come on up because we have the Mayor's Outstanding Community Service Award.
How's a guy supposed to follow the top 10? Huh? Every time, I'm always the first one up here. That's always good, Doc. Thank you. I'd also like to thank Second National Bank for taking care of the meal and stuff tonight. That's pretty awesome. It's always a pleasure to come up here and give out some awards. So I just want to thank everybody for coming this evening. Pretty nice day out there, isn't it? About 50 mile an hour wind. It's awesome. I want to thank Randy for coming up with some stats, because if I wouldn't have them, I wouldn't be able to come up with some good things to talk about. But tonight we gather to recognize some of our fellow citizens with some very well-deserved awards. I would like to personally congratulate each and every one of those people that are going to get an award tonight. It was very well deserved. Before I give out the Mayor's Community Service Award, I want us to all think back to around 1980, at least the ones in here that can think back that far, and picture our town's parks, okay? Go back to 1980 and think of our parks, or should I say park. We had one. We had the Fort Sight Park. Is that right, Bill? And one park. And I was in the seventh grade, and going to the park was a great memory for me. I loved going up there and playing baseball. But what I really liked to do was climb up to the top of that hill on 49 and then roll down. That was really the best, you know. And maybe that's why my brain sometimes is mashed potatoes today yet, but is what it is. So now let's think about our parks today. The word awesome comes to mind for me. And I'm very proud and happy to see all the kids out there playing ball, getting on the swing sets, doing the swimming things. It's just awesome. So what Randy kind of dug up, in 1981, the village formed a recreation board, which is now Fort Recovery Park Board. And since 1981, the park board has brought a lot of stuff to our village. And to name a few things, we got a swimming pool, okay? And that went in I think 83 or 84, somewhere in there. We had three ball diamonds, shelter houses, restrooms. We got lights on one of the baseball fields out there. And that's just to name a few of the things that they have done since they've been on this board together. More recently, they added the new playground with that padded rubber surface. Would have been nice to have that back in the day. And they added the Big P walking path. It gets an unbelievable amount of traffic up there, and it's awesome. Last year we added some tennis courts along with some more basketball courts. We got some new sidewalks in there, so everything's easily accessible. We added some parking. It's just fabulous out there. It's just great. This year, the guys are working on some shade canopies over the dugouts, which obviously in the summer and the little leaguers are out there, it gets hotter than heck. So they're going to put some shade canopies over the dugouts. We're getting some new lights again on another diamond. We're getting new entrance signs to the parks. And also, we'll soon complete our new pavilion, which is going to be a huge asset to our town. Lately, I mean, if you think about our parks just lately, I mean, they've had such a hell of a run. And I expect it to continue with the guys that are on this board. You know, and another thing is we've got some great grant writers that have been here in town and have gotten us some money so that we can do some of these things in the park. And it goes without saying how much money it takes to do some of these projects. It's phenomenal. But we get these grants and we use them wisely, and it just makes such a nice park down there for everybody. And before I get started on who's on the board, first off, I just want everybody to give the park board a round of applause. These current guys that's on the board have an average of 22 years of experience. I have a couple of best friends on this board, and I know they take great pride in those parks and in our village. First off, the president, Billy B. Bechtel. He's been on the board since the inception in 1981. He's been the president since 1993. And that's unbelievable. And that's 38 years of continuous service so far. And it's quite an accomplishment, Bill. And I thank you for all the years of commitment to our village. Thank you very much. Second, the vice president, my bud, Bobby Stogler. He's been on the board since 1996 and the vice president since 1997. Bobby's going to need a little help tonight getting all these plaques and stuff out of here because he's also going to get on the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, my friend. It's well overdue. Okay? And again, I want to thank you for your time to being on that park board. It means a lot. Third, my buddy Harold Feely. He's been on the board since 1998. I thought about that today, and my thought process brought me to that seat was open, and I'm guessing old Bobby had a little something to do with getting you on that park board. Is that right? Absolutely. Good job, Bobby. Appreciate you doing that, my friend. Fourth, Tom Stogler. He's been on the committee since 2002. Tom, thank you very much for all your commitment. Fifth, we have our new guy, Mr. Doc Carr. He's been on the board since 2008. I know Doc's not here tonight, but how awesome is that for a new doctor to come into your village and volunteer his time to be on the park board? I mean, it's pretty awesome. Thank you, Doc. So, in the end, I want to thank these guys for their dedication and their commitment and their leadership to making our parks the best that they can possibly be. I got thinking about this, and if my math is right, that's 110 combined years of leading our parks to their highest level. Each and every hour of those years goes without any compensation, just the pride that we have in our community. I know there's been many other people that's been on that board since the inception, and I don't know all those guys that are on that, but I would also like to thank each and every one of them that put their time in to make our parks what they are today. So, at this time, if you guys would come up here, I have a nice little plaque, a small token of our appreciation. And folks, once again, please help me giving these guys a nice round of applause.
Yeah, and I guess I also just want to reiterate, you know, today's parks and the kind of improvements they made. You know, as a physician in town, you know, as part of the health of your community, the park system is a big part of that. You know, spaces to walk, spaces to go. You know, we got to get people moving. So all those improvements are really just essential to a great community. You know, my suggestion was that we get their picture on a teeter-totter, you know, put a couple on each side and just maybe have some bets as to which side it would sway on. All righty, our next presenter tonight is Ted Romer. He's going to be presenting the Beautification Awards.
Thanks, Doc. Doc and I always have to fight over the microphone. I have to put it up, he puts it down. So, yep. It's my honor and privilege once again to recognize members of the community who've done an outstanding job improving and maintaining their properties in the past year. And we're truly blessed in our community. We're you know, those are hard decisions to make because there's so many people that do such a great job on an annual basis. So it does make that decision kind of difficult. This year, we narrowed down to three property owners that we wanted to recognize. And the first one is with our Most Improved Dwelling Award. And unfortunately, they weren't able to make it tonight, but that's going to go to Chuck and Angelica Hine. And for those of you that are familiar with their property here in town at 306 South Wagner Street, that's the former residence of Ralph Nieberdine, kind of on the back drive there into Mary Help of Christians. You know the kind of work that went into that project over a lengthy period of time, and what a nice home that they ended up with. Chuck and Angelica had owned two homes previously in Fort Recovery and then moved out of town, just out on State Line, and spent probably 20, 25 years out there. I know they're excited to be back in town, and Chuck often comments that he's probably got one of the largest lots in town. He got a lot of mowing there, probably more mowing now than what he had out at State Line. So they've done a great job. If you see them, please congratulate them on a job well done. I know they've got some landscaping that they're going to be attending to this year, so look forward to even more improvements to that property. Our next winner is for the Most Improved Residential Property Award, and I kind of emphasize residential because some years we have had commercial properties that we have recognized also, and while we didn't have any that necessarily fell into that category this year, we did have one residential property that we certainly took note of, and that is the property of Ross and Jill Wendell at 506 East Boundary Street. And Ross and Jill, if you'd want to work your way up here to the stage with me. Ross and Jill acquired that property a couple years ago, and it wasn't a bad property at all. It was a very nice looking property on the corner of John Street and East Boundary Street. But they've made some substantial improvements, gave it a complete makeover, complete with all new landscaping last year. And that's just a view from the outside. I can only imagine what the inside looks like. They've got some resources. Jill's dad does cabinet work, Ted Potcutter. So I'm sure that, I know your dad spent a lot of time there, and I'm sure the inside looks, Ross is rolling his eyes like, yeah, I've had enough of my father-in-law for a while. So right now, Ross and Jill have one little guy, right? And they've got a second one that's on their way and due any day. So they've got a lovely home to bring this next addition to their family back home. So each of our winners tonight is going to be presented with a certificate recognizing their award. And then they're also going to be receiving gift certificates from each of the three sponsors of these awards, which are Fort Recovery Lumber Company, Nature's Green Nursery, and Fort Recovery Insurance. So at this time, please help me congratulate Ross and Jill Wendell on their 2018 Most Improved Residential Property Award. I don't know if they had any pressure put on them, but Ross's brother Cliff and sister-in-law Megan Wendell live right across the street from them, and they were recognized with the same award just a couple years ago. They did a great job with their property, so there might have been a little sibling rivalry going on there too. I don't know. Our last award, and we kind of mix these awards up. Some years we have Best Landscaping Awards. Some years we've had just a kind of general overall community improvement award for a community project like the Veterans Plaza. But we've taken notice over the years that we have a lot of property owners that don't necessarily do a real standout job in any one given year, but they just do a continuously tremendous job of maintaining their properties every year. And so we want to maybe try to recognize some of those individuals also. So we kind of created a new category this year, and we just called it our Homeowner Pride Award. And that award's going to go this year to Tony and Tammy Overton. And I forgot to look up your address, but they're at the corner of Fremont Street and High Street, just right next door to the Student Athletic Center there at the high school. And they made several improvements to their property last year. If you saw Tony out there painting, I remember when the paint started going on the house, I thought, oh man, black paint on a house, how's that going to look? But it turned out just beautiful. And with the red shutters, and Tammy has a real knack for decorating, a real eye. She just redecorated our office, and it just all came together. And just their eye and their taste for things, a lot of the old nostalgic retro type of stuff that you guys have out there to accent things, just really made that property look really neat. That's the former Lucille Matchett property, for some of you that may remember that. It kind of sits up there on the hill. So Tony and Tammy, if you could please join me up here on the stage, I'd like to recognize you guys with our first ever Homeowner Pride Award for 2018. So please congratulate Tony and Tammy. I was asking Tony a little bit before the banquet started tonight how long they had been here in the Fort Recovery community, because you guys are both Jay County transplants, right? Okay. And Tony said it had been probably 12 years since you guys have been in?
10 years in the community, 9 years actually living.
Okay. So I know he said the first couple years they had a property in Portland that they were trying to sell. They rented over here, and then they moved into town. They've been in the house that they're in now for about 5 years. So we love to have folks like that moving into our community that are taking pride in their properties and contributing to the community. These are two very familiar faces. I mean, if you've watched any basketball, you know that Tony's our high school JV boys basketball coach. Tammy is our high school cook, along with a lot of other hats that she wears, a decorator and designer. So we're just glad to have you guys here, part of our community, and the pride that you're taking in it is so welcome, and we thank you for that. Thank you.
All right, so fantastic. So yeah, with the beautification in the homes, I'll tell you, I'm no handyman, when it comes to fixing up the houses. In fact, when I'm grabbing the power tools, the wife is usually running the other direction. So, but me, I decided I was going to try a project. I was going to replace my toilet and put in a pedestal sink. Yep, I know it's a little bit out of my lane. So like every man, I go out there and I watch a few YouTube videos and figure, hey, I can do this. And they kind of a little intimidated, though. They have all these special tools and equipment and stuff like that. But I found with those plumbing projects, the most important tool is the bucket. Because it gets wet. You know what I'm saying? It's just fantastically wet. And they say with these projects, the average project is at least three trips to the hardware store. Men, what I'm talking about. At least three trips to the hardware store. And they ask you like these, intelligent questions like, what size is your pipe? It's like that. And I can tell when I walk out, they're thinking, he'll be back. But me, I solve that problem. So, I went to three different hardware stores. Fooled them. But, you know, and the problem is, see, I don't know if you know this, but I was, my undergrad was in engineering, you know, and then I became a doctor. So I've got this, you know, engineering, I'm analyzing everything, you know, I'm like a doctor, you know, I got to be careful, you know, measure twice, cut once kind of thing. So I got, you know, I got to have the whole thing, you know, contingency plans, which drives my wife crazy because it takes me forever to get anything done. You know, she's like, oh, just do it, and if you don't do it right, just fix it. I'm thinking, well, last time I heard that, I was on plastic surgery. You know, oh, sorry, Mrs. Johnson, we can fix that. we can redo that. So, you know, or you're in a gallbladder surgery, and you're like, you know, scalpel, you know, retractor, suction, oops. All right, dang, now I got to go down to the grocery store and get a liver. Third trip today. All right, well, let's bring on, enough of my troubles. Let's bring on Connor here. Connor's going to give out the 2019 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship Award.
All right, good evening. It is my honor to announce the 2019 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship winner, and that is Mr. Cameron Romer. So if you want to start making your way up, that'd be great. Cameron is the son of Ted and Lisa Romer and a senior at Fort Recovery High School. He, obviously, like I just mentioned, he is this year's Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship winner. I know I can speak on behalf of other members who have reviewed his applications, and Cameron, yours by far stuck out to us the most. Your extensive community service and high school activities placed you on a whole other level compared to most applicants. So we appreciate all the good work you've done for the community so far, and we look forward to more. So I've known Cameron, obviously, through his mom and dad and multiple other organizations that he's done projects in over the last few years. Cameron always shows dedication and determination in anything that he's participating in. One of the most notable projects that many of you may have utilized are the new umbrellas and seating at the Ambassador Pool. This project, Cameron wanted to tackle as his Eagle Scout project. He successfully raised $11,000 to complete this well-needed addition to the pool. And for those of you who've been to our pool in the summertime, prior to having these, you know it's hot to walk on the concrete without burning your feet. So thank you for that. We appreciate that. You got some nice shade there now. Personally, this is one of the largest Eagle Scout projects I've ever seen completed. I feel like $11,000 for a young gentleman in high school to raise is a pretty big accomplishment, so that's very awesome. And for those of you who have not had the chance to see the improvements he's made, it's been about 2 summers ago now, about, yeah? I highly encourage you to stop down there and check it out. Cameron has plans to attend Wright State Lake Campus with a major in agriculture. This coming fall, Cameron's goal is to be able to come back into our community or surrounding communities to apply his career and his in jobs locally. Now, I'm going to briefly touch on the application he submitted here. Cameron has participated in cross country for 4 years. He received the Indian Award his freshman year and most improved his junior year. He is a 4-year letter winner. He participated in track his freshman year, been in FFA all 4 years of high school, participated on the poultry judging team all freshman through senior year, was on the soil judging team his sophomore year, and received a state FFA degree his junior year. He's been in the FCA, which is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, all the way from freshman to 12th grade. He's been on the student council for since sophomore year to junior year, and involved in the Spanish club since sophomore and senior year. He also was the school mascot his junior year, decided to take a break your senior year, yeah, and has participated in SAD this year. And SAD stands for Students Against Destructive Decisions. Okay, he didn't have that abbreviated for me, and I didn't know what that meant, so I thought I'd let him say that. So those were just his high school activities. His community service is amazing. It's very lengthy, and that's what was very impressive. Why he was chosen for this scholarship. So, Boy Scouts of America, 75 plus hours in completing the Eagle Scout project that I mentioned earlier. Numerous hours assisting fellow scouts with completion of their Eagle Scout projects, cleaned up the grounds at the VFW and the Progressive Sportsmen's Club, student council cleanup, Mercer County Youth to Youth, which is a peer group that mentors teens about the risk of alcohol and substance abuse and peer pressure. Let's see, he's volunteered at Star and Mini Star Retreats, attended the Y2Y International Convention, Fort Fiat, which is our youth group here for the Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. He's made baskets for the needy families, shut-ins, raked leaves for the elderly, made Christmas cards and sang Christmas carols in the FFA, where he's worked at concession stands at the tractor pulls and the Mercer County Fair. So he's done quite a bit for this community, and obviously noted in this application, the work he's done is just outstanding. So we are going to honor him tonight with the 2019 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship, like I mentioned, and I almost forgot my end here. In Cameron's spare time, I don't want to forget this, he enjoys running, watching movies, and playing Farm Simulator. Believe it or not, I'm going to call you a town kid. That's what I was. Town kid growing up, he really would like to farm someday. So that's his goal. And he's working right now for Paul and Jenny Forkamp, and he packs eggs for them. So he's getting a little bit of a taste for that there. He also works at the Mercer County Elks performing maintenance and groundkeeping work. So you're a busy guy. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to present the 2019 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship to Cameron Romer.
All right, I have a few words I'd like to say. All right, I would like to thank the Chamber of Commerce for honoring me with this scholarship. I am very grateful. I can use this to help me pay for some of my expenses at Wright State Lake Campus. I'm going to be studying agriculture because it is a passion of mine, and I plan on living in the Fort Recovery area after I graduate. I am proud of Fort Recovery, and I plan on staying involved and serving our community. Thank you.
All right, as my duty being Chamber President always gets to announce and award a Business of the Year. The 2018 Business of the Year award is going to be going to J&M Manufacturing. And I've put together a little bit of information for you guys, for those of you who aren't fully aware of how it's all started. So in 1960, two brothers, Jerome and Maurice Greasup, took a leap of faith and went into business together. Jerome, who married Norma Borgerding, had 11 children, 5 boys and 6 girls, and Maurice, who married Jeanette Schindler, had 10 children, 3 boys and 7 girls. Both men started this business on their faith and built it from the ground up. Now, both being gone, and 58 years later, Jerry and Morris are surely looking down and smiling at the success of their sons and their business. J&M Manufacturing has been a leading manufacturer of grain handling equipment for over 50 years. J&M has consistently provided innovative and dependable, high-quality products to farmers throughout the United States and Canada, as well as overseas. Starting in 1961, they built their first gravity wagon holding 110 bushel for a local farmer. By 1975, their boxes grew to 350 bushel capacity, selling over 8,000 units that year throughout the grain belt of the regions of the United States. In 1987, J&M designed their first grain cart, a side-folding auger holding 450 bushels. In 1988, they introduced their front folding corner auger cart, which continues to be the industry standard today. They have implemented other innovative options, like their patented hydraulic flow control spout, electronic scales, dual wheels, tracks, and roll tarps. They continue to make the J&M front folding auger cart one of the most demanded carts on the market today. Today, J&M employs 150 employees. Their gravity wagons and grain carts. Their product line includes bulk and pro box seed tenders, soil conditioners, header transports, as well as bolted together products for container shipment. No matter what product you choose, you can always assure that their products are built to handle the toughest demands year after year. Although J&M is widely known for their exceptional craftsmanship and their equipment, they are also known for their constant support of the community. J&M believes in contributing to a variety of businesses and community activities to ensure that we keep our strong organizations and schools as well as churches. One of the largest projects that J&M has recently been involved in was the Jerome and Maurice Greasup Athletic Complex. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this is the new addition that was added onto the Fort Recovery High School. This building has served many students and community members already and will only serve many more for generations to come. Along with the athletic complex, J&M played a key role in our FR225 celebration. I experienced this firsthand being a co-director of the drama. J&M graciously donated all of the photo backdrops, two-way projector screens, and countless other items. They were there when we needed them. It was perfect. Our drama would not have been as successful as it was if it wasn't for J&M. These are only two examples of the contributions made by J&M, and the list goes on and on. Now, on behalf of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce and the Fort Recovery community, we thank you for everything you've done for our amazing town. Without the support of businesses like yours, many projects wouldn't be possible. It is now my pleasure to introduce the 2018 Business of the Year Award to J&M Manufacturing. Here tonight accepting the award is Eric Greasup, son of Jerry Greasup. Let's give them a round of applause.
Hello, everyone. I'm honored to be here representing J&M Manufacturing. I ask all of you to hold off on your applause or boos until I have finished. On behalf of all the first, second, and third generation owners of J&M, I would like to thank the Chamber of Commerce and Citizens of Fort Recovery for this award. We greatly appreciate it, and we thank you for all that you do for our community. I would like to recognize the two founders of J&M, my dad, Jerome Greasup, and my uncle, Maurice Greasup. Back in 1960, they started making J&M wagons in a small building on Railroad Street. The business and its success meant the world to Dad and Uncle Morse. They worked many long days keeping the business going and to feed their ever-growing families. I heard them say more than once that they had to eat a lot of watered-down ketchup soup in those early days. My Uncle Morse passed away in 2013, Dad passed in 2015, and we lost Mom in 2017. Aunt Jeanette lives on and is right out there today. I cannot go without thanking all of our past and present employees. Their hard work and dedication to company has been second to none. Many thanks go out to the Bill and Peg Wolf family and to Uncle Lou and Charlene Greasup's family. Bill, along with his son Chuck and now grandson Luke, have been instrumental in and attributed greatly to the growth and success of J&M, as have Lou and his son Shannon. We thank God for the success of our business and for letting us be a part of this great community. Thank you again for this award. It means a lot to J&M Manufacturing. Please don't boo.
All righty. Yeah, Cameron, that's pretty wild, raising, you know, that great project, raising the money for the pool umbrellas. That just, you're so busy, it sounds like you have no time to hang out at the pool, though. Yeah, what's that all about? And then, as far as just when we were hearing about Maurice and Jerry, one of my earliest memories in practice was Maurice came in for a physical. I said, "Mo, how are you feeling today?" He said, "Ah, I feel great." He says, "I could run through a brick wall." And I believe he could, you know. And he would tell stories about, I guess he used to wrestle his employees. They'd start off the day with some wrestling matches. He said, "Oh, I'd kick their ass." He's oh, he was a dandy. Well, hey, and because this is a Chamber of Commerce, you know, I'm always scouring the business section, you know, for great business stories just to see what's out there. And this is an actual Dayton Daily News headline. This is the truth. Quote, it says, "Alcohol and axe-throwing part of proposed business," unquote. Yeah, I'm thinking, now that's a great combination. You know what I'm thinking? I mean, that may just be, I mean, just think of it, a whole room full of drunk wannabe lumberjacks. I can't think of anything to go wrong. You know, and what's the pickup line there, you know? "Hey, my name is Paul Bunyan. Babe, why are you so blue? I only had one beer, but it was a big one." Okay, let's get out there and throw some axes. Yeah. "Hey, Paul, the targets would be that way. I knew that. So, but anyway, they talk about the business, and in the article they say the business will have drinks, axe throwing, and other activities. All righty, my vote's on jarts. I think that would just add to the risk. All righty, let's go on up here, and our next is, I want to recognize the other Hall of Fame. So next to the Hall of Fame Award, I want to recognize other nominees. It's Sharon Ontrop and Paul Rohrer. So next, please come on up. Jack and Bill Stogler is going to present the Hall of Fame Award to Bob Stogler.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. First of all, I would like to thank the Chamber for putting this on every year. You know, it's really awesome to be able, as a community, to recognize people and businesses that give so much to make us who we are. So I would like to thank the Chamber. So tonight we honor Mr. Bob Stogler to join the Hall of Fame. Bob joins my brother Bill, my brother Big P, my brother Ricky, and my sister-in-law Kathy in the Hall of Fame. Family gatherings are going to suck for me. Okay. But it is very much, very well deserved. Bob's love and commitment to the Fort Recovery community cannot be matched. He truly wears the purple and white on his sleeve. This all started back in high school, where Bob was kind of an assistant coach, and he was kind of a Connor Rammel before the Connor Rammel was cool. Okay? But once he started, he just didn't stop. I'll give you a couple of examples. Bob was part of the Fort Recovery Lions Club for 34 years. He was president 3 times. He has been a member of the Fort Recovery Community Club since its inception. As you heard, he was a member of the Fort Recovery Park Board for 23 years, with the last 22 as the vice president. At the age of 8, he became the first, youngest, and only member of the Glenn Campbell Fan Club. He has also been an active helper at the Fort Recovery Harvest Jubilee. He has been the chairman or co-chairman for 4 years. And for those of you that have been in charge of the Jubilee, you know that if you need lights, if you need shavings, if you need extra help, if you need garbage cans dumped, call Bob. Bob will get a couple of Cooper guys down there, borrow Cooper's tractor, borrow Cooper's shavings. If Cooper's knew what Bob did, he probably wouldn't be employed there anymore. But you could count on Bob to make the Jubilee what it is today. He's been a member of the Sons of the American Legion for 10 years. He was the founding father of the Fort Recovery chapter of Ambulance and Fire Truck Chasers. If you hear a siren, okay, don't call Jared. Call Bob. Bob will know where it's at. He'll know who's involved, and he'll probably give you the guy's blood pressure. Okay. He's been a driving force behind the Fort Recovery Radio Christmas show. And over the 3 years that we've done that, we've raised a little bit over $90,000. You know? And that was Bob's idea. Okay? Now, he hadn't done a whole lot with it since then, but that was Bob's idea. But, you know, there is no doubt that through the years, Bob and Chester own a DJ thing too. And they don't do it much, but they just donate time for things like, you know, cancer benefits, proms for kids with special needs, special occasions for friends and things, and all that time he just kind of dedicates. He just donates that time. The bottom line is that nobody loves the purple and white and loves his community more than Bob does.
I got a little bit of a problem here, Bubba. I typed up some things I don't talk about, and then I got looking at them, I'm like, that don't make sense. So I typed up another list, but I brought the wrong list. So when I butcher this up, I'll tell you afterwards, because it was awesome what I was going to talk about. Okay. Now, Jack talked on a lot of things, and the one thing that's always amazed me about Bob is the relationship that he's had with the younger generation. And when I say younger generation, a lot of these people are in their 30s and 40s now, but he's always had that knack of communicating with these kids from the ages of junior high till the time that they leave Fort Recovery. And it's always amazed me at, you know, when you go places, the people that come up and talk to him, because of the relationships he's had through the years, it's really been unbelievable. Jack talks about, you know, some of the things that he was involved with and is involved with. And, you know, he just wasn't involved with that. You know, if you used to talk about these things like being an Elk member, he's a Hall of Fame Elk member. If you used to talk with people at the Elks, Bubba's a Hall of Famer. If you used to talk to the kids growing up in Fort Recovery community, especially the ones involved with athletes, he's a guy that they look up to and communicate every time they see him. And it's always amazed me. He's a Hall of Fame Jubilee guy. So like Jack said, when he gets his heart into it, he's with you. He's purple and white. One thing they didn't talk about, though, as far as Hall of Fame, would be being a Hall of Famer to his family. And, you know, it's we were lucky enough to have parents that were all about family. We were lucky enough to have an oldest brother who, if you wasn't all about family, as he would say, he'll punch you right in the nose. This is no slight to Mindy or Chester or Jack or myself. But when we lost Big P, Bubba kind of took over that. He does things that, don't get me wrong, we're awesome. There's, you know, the four of us is awesome. But Bubba just took over the whole, you know, hey, you know, we have to do this. He's the first one to ask you if something's wrong. A lot of times he tells you something's wrong before you know it, kind of like Jack was saying. But he's the first one to ask you if you need help. I'll be there for you, whatever you need. And, you know, me being with the campground, what I've asked him to do through the years, and my wife, Bert, has been amazing. And he has never, and I guarantee you, he has thought, oh, not again. He's always there for me. He's always there for his sister, and he's always there for his brothers. But I think the thing that would probably make Bubba the proudest is the word uncle. Because if you look at the kids here, and these kids' kids, they absolutely idolize this guy. And it isn't, when you walk into a room, when I walk into a room at our family get-together, the kids say, Bill's here. When Bubba walks into the room at family get-together, the whole place gets louder. The kids come to the room. And everyone that knows him understands why. It isn't that it's me, Jack, Chester, and Mindy are that, you know. He just absolutely has a way with kids that they adore him for. And I think that as time goes, I think a little bit of that, you know, along with, will follow with our nieces and nephews. And even our nieces and nephews' kids go to him immediately. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. It makes, you know, Bubba being a big part of that, it makes family get-togethers not something that I have to go to, but something that he absolutely enjoy going to. And that's a big reason for that guy sitting over there. So, Bubba, we love you to death. Having you as a brother is really, really cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, anything else, Jack?
Yeah. Let me throw one other thing in there. And just to go along with that, you know, Bob and Fee for years has done the sports talk show on FR Radio, okay? And they love sports, But the opportunities that these guys have given high school kids to, and this is all thanks to Neil Spencer for getting it started, but to get these high school kids up here to talk about their sports and their plans and their hard work and why they do what they do and make them role models to the next kids coming up. Bob and Fee both do that. And they make kids want to get better, and they make kids see the value of being leaders and of working hard. And to do that from a radio show is a tremendous value to the community. And that's a piece that I wanted to make sure that we added to this. So I'd like to introduce the latest member of the Fort Recovery Hall of Fame, Mr. Bob Stogler.
Thank you, boys. I told my wife that I didn't write anything down. I got to work on my speech, and she said, just wing it. You're better at winging it than anything, so we're going to wing it. First of all, I want to thank Team Stogler. As you can see with the turnout tonight, I would expect nothing less. I mean, it's just a wonderful family, and we're about family, like them guys said. And my family over here, who, by the way, I got two more grandkids coming. So there ain't nothing in the world better than being called grandpa, I'll tell you that. I grew up in the greatest, when you look at the Mount Rushmore Fort Recovery, okay, in my eyes, this is the Mount Rushmore. Number one is Charlie Hine. Number two is Nancy Kanapke. Number three is Jim Zeringer. And number four is Paul Stogler. That's in my eyes, that's who is the Mount Rushmore of our town. And in about 19, and I can remember setting up town, and I guarantee you when I tell this story, Nancy Kanapke is going to say, he remembers Charlie Hine talking like this. Me and Big P are uptown with Charlie and Dan Hine, and I think I'm maybe a junior in high school. And we're sitting there, and Charlie and Dan, me and Paul, and Charlie's talking to Dan and myself about community pride and living in Fort Recovery. And Charlie said, I'll tell you what, boys, and he was dead serious. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's crazy. And he says, the people in Fort Recovery who leave, the young kids that leave, go to school and come back, that's we got them. We have them because them's the people who want to come to our community. Them's the people who love Fort Recovery. And he's going on and on to me and Dan. And I think it was a lesson, he was telling us about. And all he talked about was our community. And I'm sitting there, and as the conversation goes, and the passion in his voice was something that I'll never forget. And we got into the car. We left there, and Big P and I said, man, Charlie's about half crazy. And Big P got mad at me because I said that. And he said, don't you ever. He said, that was a learning lesson. He said, we should have taped that. And everybody should have heard how he was talking, because Charlie got what Fort Recovery's about. I mean, he was just an amazing, amazing human being. And then when you talk about my family, my best friend is Harold Feely. And it was early 80s, I want to say, 80, whenever it was. And it was back when Fort Recovery had two tractor pulls. And me and Harold skipped the first tractor pull parking because we decided we were going to go to the Reds game. Well, Bill was in charge of the parking, so he didn't like that. Matter of fact, he's really mad at us for not parking cars. So we're at Fishmo's after golfing on a Thursday of this tractor pull, and he's about half drunk. Harold's about half drunk. And Bill kept flipping the big L at us, losers, for not parking. And as the night got on, Bretzy, his buddy, you know, who just thought that was neat to pester us a little more, kept sticking their big L's in our head. So Harold, as the night goes on, he's had just about enough of this harassment. And he goes up to Bill, and he gives Bill the big, "You're an L for parking cars all the time." And just then, Bill decides he's going to tackle Harold. So Harold's got his sandals on, and Bill hits Harold on a, like a linebacker rush and knocks him into the dartboard at Fishmo's. And the dartboard lands on Harold and Bill. I'm crying. Harold's crying. Bill's laughing. So we walk out of there, and Harold, I grab Harold's flip-flops, and he takes them, he throws them on the roof at Fishmo's, and he takes off walking home. So Jack picks us up, me and Harold, and he picks us up. Harold's crying. I'm crying still. And he says, "Get in here, you know. Bill, I hate Bill Stogler." You know, because Bill bullied us to love Fort Recovery. I mean, basically, that's what it come down to. So we get in the car. We're driving back, me and Jack and Harold. And Jack says, he don't say nothing, Jack. You know, idiot sense of humor. "I'm going to go ahead and put you guys down for parking cars the next tractor pull." "Yeah, you better put us down there, Jack. We don't want to miss that one." I just want to thank the chamber for everything that they do, and I am so honored to accept this award, and my family once again. I couldn't do it without them. My wife Jody, who she's one of a kind. You know, she came over here from Van Wert, and now I don't have to listen to her tell me that she's already inducted into the Hall of Fame now, because that's all I ever hear is the nuns are in and I'm a loser and all that stuff. But nobody is. I'm just thrilled to be inducted into the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
All right. And congratulations again, Bubba. Yeah, and is one of the smaller things that Bubba also does, he's a connoisseur of basketball popcorn. I always get my recommendations from Bubba after every game. All right, next I'd like to have, like to have Nancy Knappy come on up, start making her way up. The other nominations for Citizen of the Year this year is Josie Wendell and Louis Diller. All righty. And now Nancy is going to give the Citizen of the Year Award to Christine Thompson.
Thank you, Dr. Hosback. First of all, congratulations to all the winners so far this evening. And I just said to Neil Diller when the two Stogler brothers got up here, I said, "Oh, God, I got to follow the Stogler brothers." Nobody wants to do that. Hey, and you Stogler brothers, don't pick on Jack. Jack's had a soft spot in my heart for a long time. he's done a lot of good for the community and was Citizen of the Year, so he may not be in the Hall of Fame yet, but he certainly deserves that recognition. And Jack and I sat in the same boardroom, in the Board of Education room for a lot of years, and I can't tell you what a principled, good man he is. And also, I have to tell you that he was one of the brightest third graders I ever had in my class. So I hate to admit that I'm so darned old, but yep, that's the case. So congratulations to Bob and to all the Stogler brothers. And indeed, you must have had a special home to have produced so many people who bleed purple and white and have contributed so much to the Fort Recovery community. So how about a hand for the whole Stogler family? Okay, thank you. First of all, I would like to announce, and Dr. Hosbach already gave it away, and you all know who the Citizen of the Year is, but she's often referred to as the daughter of Dale and Kathy Tobey. Her parents were, her dad was a businessman here in Fort Recovery and a very popular teacher for many years here at the high school. Her mom has worked her whole life here in Fort Recovery and has been involved in so many things and is in the Hall of Fame. So Chris is often known as the daughter of Dale and Alice. I mean, excuse me, Dale and Kathy Tobey. And that works well for her because when she began her work here in Fort Recovery through Ball State University, she would come to organizations or to people's homes or to farmers and would want to do maybe some archaeological work. And when she would go into those places, she could introduce herself as the real person she is, the Chris Thompson, the archaeologist from the Applied Anthropology Laboratories of the Anthropology Department at Ball State University, and their eyes would just kind of glass over. And then she'd say, well, I'm the daughter of Dale and Kathy Tobey. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, come on in and have a cup of coffee. So so Chris is known here in Fort Recovery as that daughter. She was born here in Fort Recovery and went through school here. Her mom said she already showed her independent spirit when she was a young girl of 5 years old, and Kathy walked her to school the first couple of days, and then Chris looked at her and said, you know, Mom, I can do this myself. So after that, that little five-year-old took off and walked herself to school each day. So you already get an idea of who Chris Thompson is. So she finished her her school years here in Fort Recovery, went off to Miami University, graduated in business, became very successful in the field of business and technology, traveled all around the United States doing the professional work in the business field. However, when her sons got to be of the age where they were involved in a lot of school activities, she decided she wanted to be more available for their activities and so forth. So she changed her career slightly from being in the world of business, traveling around the United States, to coming to the Fort Recovery local schools as the technology coordinator. She took the Fort Recovery schools from a fledgling school with technology to the leader in the state as far as technology was concerned. Those of us who remember those old days of the Pat and Ted and Ed and Nancy days, we could all verify the fact that she was a mover and a shaker. And whereas educators like to form committees to study things, Chris would say, let's give that a try. Yep, I think we can do that. And that's the kind of an attitude that she had here at Fort Recovery and worked so well. After her days here at Fort Recovery, she went on to the A site in Lima in a leadership position. And then in the early years of the 2000s, she decided she wanted to switch fields. She wanted to try something new. She didn't want to go through life not having experienced all she could experience. So she decided to become an archaeologist and went back to Ball State University and got her master's degree in archaeology there. When she was getting her degree in archaeology, she needed projects to work on for class credit. She needed a thesis for her master's degree, and what she chose to do was to use the materials that we had here in our Fort Recovery State Museum. So she actually wrote a book, and I brought it with me tonight and forgot to bring it up here with me. But Neil, you want to hold up that purple book under my folder there? It's quite the book, and we have that on display in our museum because she did her thesis on the sandal sole gorgets that we have in our museum. Quite a rare collection that she managed to really portray really well through her graduate thesis. So that began the connection between Ball State University and the Fort Recovery State Museum and Historical Society. Chris has gone on to just do amazing things between Ball State University and the Fort Recovery Historical Society. She has written so many grants that have benefited our community to such a great extent. She has written nearly $500,000 worth of grants that have pertained to Fort Recovery and have made great strides forward as far as our history is concerned. Her resume is just amazing. If you look at her vita, she has, it's 22 pages long. So I went through those 22 pages of her resume and saw that she's done, had published 13 peer-reviewed articles, 74 formal reports submitted to different state agencies. She's given 98 presentations across the United States. And has written 40 grants, including, and when you write 40 grants, you don't just write them, as people here also realize, that it takes a lot of research, and then it takes a lot of work, direction following, and overseeing the whole projects, and then evaluating them in the end. So what makes her so special this year in 2018 that she's named the Citizen of the Year? Well, there have been some major things that have happened in this community that will last for a long, long time. One of the projects, and I hope that many of you have already seen them, is the installation of 15 wayside exhibits. These 15 wayside exhibits, which are big panels that are stationed around the community of Fort Recovery, they cover 1.5 miles of the battlefield from the Wabash Battle of 1791 and the Battle of Fort Recovery of 1794 that undergirds the whole community of Fort Recovery. So these 15 wayside exhibits begin at Ambassador Park, and they wind around through the community and end up at Pioneer Cemetery. So this is a culmination of over 4 years' work in getting these all established. So she was involved with that from the very beginning of writing this large grant, over $63,000, that made this possible. So doing the research, designing those wayside exhibits, having those all approved, and then finally having them manufactured and installed. She oversaw that entire project all along the way. Don and Louie are sitting there at the table, Don Leonards and Louie Diller. They can vouch for the fact that she was right there on the scene when all the grit work was being done as well, because they were right there with her, helping them get the bases all established for these 15 signs. And so that was done, and then when the company actually came to install the signs, she was there again, going from sign to sign. She just didn't oversee the project and let somebody else handle it. She took care of that from beginning to end, and that occurred over this past year of 2018. There was a soft opening, unveiling of those 15 wayside exhibits, and there were a number of people who participated in that and took advantage of seeing all these exhibits that had been put up on the battlefield. So placing those signs that will last for a long, long time, those are going to have an impact on people for many years after a lot of us are gone. So it's hard to put the value on something like that. In addition, they're very attractive, and those, along with the murals that have been put up here in Fort Recovery, have really created a beautiful historic atmosphere in our town. So along with the great work that's been done with the parks and all the people who work so hard on those different projects, all of it works together to make this community such a wonderful community. In addition to that, she also had this last year the unveiling of an interactive website that you can actually take your iPad or iPhone, and you can take a virtual tour of the entire battlefield. So you can click on each one of the signs and not only read what's on the sign, but can go deeper and deeper into the history and see pictures and so forth. We know already that there are people around the world who have used this virtual online battlefield story map. They have used that to tour the battlefield here at Fort Recovery. So people who maybe could never make the trip here get to benefit from this online battlefield story map. And this was funded by an Ohio Humanities Council grant for nearly $13,000. And people might say, well, if they go online and they experience it virtually, does that mean they're not going to come to Fort Recovery? But I think any of us who have done that know that it just whets your appetite for those kinds of things, to see it, to go through the battlefield, and to think, I would like to go there someday and walk the footsteps of those Native Americans who fought so tremendously to hold their homeland here on the banks of the Wabash River, and to walk the footsteps of those American soldiers, most of whom died here that day, fighting for what they believed was manifest destiny, that God wanted them to have this land and they needed to fight for it. So what a history we have here, and what a way that they can access this history through this online battlefield story map that Chris created. I mean, this just wouldn't happen if we didn't have Chris Thompson working on projects like this. She also received notification this last year in 2018 that she had received a $74,800 grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and that's to create a new exhibit that will travel across the United States to Native American sites. This is called A New View of the Battle of the Wabash, and it's going to look at this battle from the viewpoint of Native Americans. So what a novel idea, and what an appropriate idea, and how exciting that will be when that also is completed. So why is this woman so successful? I've observed her for quite some time, and anyone who has worked with her knows that that she brings together such a collection of knowledge and abilities. She's so good at technology. I know what she did here at school and saw it firsthand, and I personally told her when she went to work for Ball State University, they're going to wonder how they ever got along without you. And I'm sure that that's true today. She has the expertise and the knowledge of the field of business. She has passion, ambition, leadership. She has to take all these young students who come into the archaeology lab there on their internships and work with them. Chris, should I tell them about your experience with your subject the other day? One of them couldn't make their field work because her dog ate her boot. So if you ever get an excuse like that, sorry, I can't come in today, my dog ate my boot, you know that you're working in the field of archaeology. So she works with all these young people and has been recognized in other venues for what she's able to accomplish with these young people. She has such a sense of cooperation, and besides that, she has a fantastic sense of humor, and that certainly goes a long ways in whatever it is that you do. I personally think that Chris probably has done more to spread the word of Fort Recovery history and the events that have happened here, maybe than any other individual. She has done so much writing, done so many presentations, been in contact with so many people, that she certainly deserves this recognition as a 2018 Citizen of the Year. She's on sabbatical right now for 3 months, and guess what she's doing during that time? She's writing a book about the history of the individuals who participated in the battles here at Fort Recovery. You know, Chris is one of those people who likes to fly under the radar. She doesn't like attention. She's not too big on receiving awards and trophies and things like that. But tonight, I do believe that Dale and Kathy's daughter is not going to be just a, she's not going to fly under the radar. She's not going to be just a blip on the radar screen. Chris, tonight, you are a shining star, so stand up and accept the appreciation and accolades of all of us here present. Chris?
So I have to go after Mount Rushmore, right? So that's tough, too. Thank you. I am humbled and honored to receive the Citizen of the Year Award. I would like to thank Nancy for nominating me, the Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring this banquet, and my family for being here. Joining me tonight are my husband, Ron, my mom, Kathy Toby, my sister, Lisa, my sons, JD and Zach, my daughter-in-law, Heather, and my grandson, Toby, somewhere in the building. And yes, it is spelled T-H-O-B-E. My dad's first words upon hearing that was, oh, the poor kid, no one will ever spell his name right. I want to thank my family, and especially my husband, for all of their love and support in putting up with my crazy schedule and odd work habits. I simply could not do it without them. As I'm sure we can all attest, as we've heard tonight over and over, there's something truly special about growing up and living in a small town like Fort Recovery. Growing up in Fort Recovery was a bit like winning the childhood lottery. So whatever part that I have played in helping to improve the preservation and interpretation of our historic battlefield seems like a small payment on my childhood lottery debt. I certainly grew up with two great examples of giving back to the community. My mom and dad gave freely of their time to make the community better, and I saw everyone else around town doing the same, so I just assumed that was the way things were done. I observed and hopefully absorbed a sense that you should just not take from the community, but that it was more fun and perhaps even a responsibility to give back. Some of my favorite childhood memories are also memories of being part of a community where you felt safe, celebrations were shared, and everyone tried to make life easier for others. It's hard for me to imagine anything other than a childhood where you could ride your bike everywhere in town at 10 years old to pay your granny's bills and buy her groceries, or a childhood with memories of the Jubilee that was still uptown when I was a kid, or a childhood where you were chastised if you didn't leave the keys in the car ignition. What if the fire phone rang and Dad needed to go to the fire and he couldn't find the keys? Big trouble. There was never the first worry that someone was going to steal your car parked out front with the keys in it. I want to thank my parents for instilling in me as a kid a sense that I wasn't the greatest thing that walked the earth and that things didn't always revolve around me. While this may seem an odd thing to be grateful for, it is the most important gift they could have ever given me. I learned there were people in my family and my community that came before me, helped support me, and paved the way for any of my accomplishments. I was shown by my parents' words and actions that there were lots of people in my little world and beyond that had important life stories to tell, and none were more or less important than my own story. And just because those people may look or act different than me, it didn't make their stories any less meaningful. Looking back now as an adult, there are some very cliche-sounding but important lifelong lessons that growing up in Fort Recovery taught me. Quiet hard work is always appreciated more than loud arrogance. Working together to improve the community is always a good thing, and it really is to your advantage to listen more and talk less. As my dad would say, you just might learn something. I don't remember being specifically lectured about any of this. These are life lessons that I just absorbed naturally growing up here. I've tried to put these virtues into practice as an adult, and one day perhaps I will get it all right. It is incredible how much my current work as an archaeologist and an anthropologist draws on these lessons that I was taught growing up. My job now is basically helping people, past and present, tell their stories. Sometimes these stories are gleaned from the artifacts that I find, and sometimes all I have to do is simply let people tell their own stories. I have made 7 trips to Oklahoma to visit with American Indians, whose descendants fought in the 2 battles that took place here. If I had to summarize these trips in 1 word, it would be listening. And lo and behold, my dad was right. I have learned many things. I'm now being taught by my American Indian friends who have a completely different life experience and worldview than myself, and yet we are connected by what happened on a battlefield over 225 years ago. It is a humbling experience to be given the honor to hear American Indians' perspectives of the Northwest Indian Wars, the 2 battles here, and their tribes' removal from Ohio and Indiana, and then together build museum exhibits and interpretation using their stories. Just as humbling, and even more so, is the support of this research by Nancy, the Fort Recovery Historical Society, and the whole community. Since 2010, the Fort Recovery Historical Society has been a collaborator with Ball State University and the Ohio History Connection on a 12 grants totaling over $500,000 for archaeological research, preservation, and interpretation of our battlefield in multiple ways. Nancy alone has probably written 20 letters of support for various grants. Unfortunately, we don't get every grant that we apply for. And dozens of other support letters from the village and community groups have helped us show funding agencies how much we appreciate, respect, and value our history and our heritage. As part of these grant projects, I've given dozens of presentations about our research in the battles, both locally and at conferences all across the United States. In every single presentation, I am proud to let people know that Fort Recovery is my hometown and that my research is personal and is truly a part of my own story. I'm also a little self-conscious that I get to be the spokesperson for work that has involved the efforts and input of so many people from Ball State, from Fort Recovery, American Indian Tribes, and the Ohio History Connection. If my involvement in all of this is paying off some of my childhood lottery debt and appreciated by the community, I'm truly thankful for that. Singular historical places like our battlefield will simply cease to exist if people do not make the time and effort to preserve, protect, and educate in order that battlefields and history like ours are around for generations to come. I'm delighted to be part of this process and honored to be recognized as Citizen of the Year. Thank you very much.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Susan Manchester, and I'm the state representative for the 84th House District, which covers all of Mercer County. And I'm going to be a good politician tonight and keep it very brief. But I just want to say thank you to all of you for what you do for this community. It truly is an honor to represent you and make your voice heard in Columbus. The stories I hear tonight of all the folks that have received awards and beyond really inspire me just to be able to ensure that this can be protected at the State House. So again, thank you for all that you do to make this community a wonderful place to live and work and raise a family. Thank you.
All right, congratulations again to Chris. That was really way cool, that new technology on how to virtually get through battlefields. I wish somebody had come up with that for IKEA. You know, I got separated from my wife once. I thought I was going to have to sleep in the mattress section. They need to write a book someday, IKEA, from the husband's perspective. You know, then they'll really know. All righty, hey, we are down to the part about giving away cool centerpieces. Anything with a tag on, it's fair game. Doesn't matter if you're at that table or not. Just have at it. All right, here we go. Jeanette Diller. And we have Mike Vier. Visha. Wasn't even close. Wrong syllable, sorry. We have Jerry Laffin. All right, Zach Keller. Yep. Bert Stogler. Dave Stogler, hot table. Colt Roth. J.D. Keller. Ted Romer. Heidi Laux. Bert Stongler. All right, that's an amazingly hot table. Tammy Overton. Heather Keller. Jake Kanapke. And our final one goes to Erica Werekamp. Woo! So please, and we want all our winners to hang out afterwards because Leslie Gartrell wants to take pictures. So we gotta have the photo ops. So just come on upstage. And other than that, we are done. So safe drive home.